ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. పూర్ణమదః పూర్ణమిదం పూర్ణాత్ పూర్ణముదచ్యతే పూర్ణస్య పూర్ణమాదాయ పూర్ణమేవావశిష్యతే. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. సో ఇన్ ది లాస్ట్ వెబినార్ వి కన్క్లూడెడ్ వన్ ఆఫ్ ది మోస్ట్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ సంస్కారాస్, ది వివాహ సంస్కార, ది మ్యారేజ్ రిచువల్, విచ్ ఇస్ ది 14th సంస్కార ఆఫ్ ది 41 సంస్కారాస్ మెన్షన్డ్ ఇన్ ది బిగినింగ్. అండ్ నౌ వీ విల్ కంటిన్యూ ద డిస్కషన్ విత్ ది రెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది సంస్కారాస్ ఇన్ దిస్ వెబినార్. అండ్ ఆల్ ద డిస్కషన్స్ ఆస్ ఐ మెన్షన్డ్ ఎర్లియర్ ఆర్ బేస్డ్ ఆన్ అవర్ ట్రెడిషన్ అండ్ అవర్ స్క్రిప్చర్స్. సెవరల్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ ఆర్ సెల్డమ్ ఇన్ ప్రాక్టీస్ దీస్ డేస్. The remaining 26 samskaras, actually the after the marriage samskara, except the santyeshti. So the samskaras after vivaha are not that popular today. And as was noted earlier, the vivaha samskara is the 14th samskara. If you remember, we had 3 prenatal samskaras and 4 and the 7 pre-educational samskaras, including the 4 pre-educational samskaras, making it 7. And 6 educational samskaras, making it 13. And vivaha samskara is the 14th samskara. So 26 more samskaras are there. They are highly ritualistic samskaras, which we are going to see today. But for the sake of completeness, we will only outline them briefly, because they are not almost as much in practice at all, except for a handful of practitioners. And these 26 samskaras can be broadly classified into 4 categories. One is the Pancha Mahayajnas. Pancha means 5, so Pancha Mahayajnas, 5 of them. Then Sapta Pakayajnas, 7 Pakayajnas. Sapta Havirayajnas, 7 Havirayajnas. And Sapta Somayajnas, 7 Somayajnas, making this entire thing to 26. 21 plus 5, 26. And now let us take the first group of 5 samskaras called the Pancha Maha Yajnas. And there is actually a nice shloka which gives all the 5 Maha Yajnas. And that is Adhyapanam Brahma Yajnaha Pitru Yajnaschu Tarpanam Homo Devaha Balirbhotaha Riyajnaha Atithi Pujanam. There is a shloka like that. That means Adhyapanam Brahma Yajnaha. Learning in the Brahmacharya Ashrama and teaching in the Grahastha Ashrama. That is Adhyapanam, Adhyayanam and Adhyapanam. Adhyayanam, learning in the Brahmacharya Ashrama, and Adhyapanam, teaching in the Grahastha Ashrama, to maintain the Guru Shishya Parampara. That is prescribed. If a person cannot teach, one should perform a ritual at least known as Brahma Yajna, which is a Nitya Karma. As people follow this Sandhyavandana Karma every day, this Brahma Yajna also is a Nitya Karma. So if a person cannot either teach, or there are a lot of people who cannot either teach, they can at least support Veda Patashalas. There are a lot of Veda Patashalas. If they cannot teach it themselves, or if they don't have enough knowledge themselves, they can support all these Veda Patashalas to encourage the Vedic learning. So the performance of this ritual every day called Brahma Yajna, which is a Nitya Karma. Actually, for other people also who have practiced, who have learnt the lot of these Veda Mantras, even if they cannot teach now, they are supposed to practice it themselves. So normally they have this Brahma Yajna Prashna. Every day they are supposed to recite at least one chapter of whatever they have learned, so that in an year you will complete several cycles of whatever is learned, so that whatever is learned is kept in memory and is not forgotten. So this is Brahma Yajna. So Adhyapanam Brahma Yajna. And the second one is Pitru Yajnastu Tarpanam. Performance of Tarpana during occasions like the Amavasya day, the Vishu day, on those occasions to worship the ancestors. And this is also this performing tarpana and all, they are all called Naimittika Karma. నైమిత్తిక కర్మ మీన్స్ యూ డూ దట్ కర్మ, దట్ రిచువల్ ఓన్లీ వెన్ దర్ ఈస్ అన్ అకేషన్. ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్, ఇఫ్ దర్ ఈస్ సోలార్ ఎక్లిప్స్ ఆర్ లూనార్ ఎక్లిప్స్, whenever they occur, then you do the tarpana during that time. That is called naimittika karma. It is a thing that should be done, but only on those occasions. If a solar eclipse has not come, then you don't do that. Whereas for amavasya and all, it comes every month, so one has to be doing it regularly. These are all offering the our homage to our ancestors. This is called pitru yajna. Pitru yajna for our ancestors, pitru yajna to tarpanam. Then homo devaha, offering lot of oblations to the devas like the Indra, Agni, Varuna, because these devatas are responsible for whatever riches we have in the world today for our enjoyment and for our benefit. So we have to pay our gratitude to these devatas by performing these yajnas. This is called deva yajna. One can do lot of homas in honor of them, lot of pujas. They all come under that category only to express our gratitude to the natural forces and seek their blessings. That is deva homo devaha. And bhuta yajnaha or vaishvadeva. Vaishvadeva means to protect the birds and animals and to be sensitive to the ecosystem, because the plants, the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, the bird kingdom, they all have to be protected. Because they all are created to maintain the harmony in creation. So because all of them have to, we all have to coexist together. We have to exist together with the plants, the animals, and the birds and humans and everything in creation. So every member of this whole system have to do their part correctly. And if you really take the animals and birds and plants, they all follow their dharma without any problem. Their dharma means their dharma is mostly instinctive only. They just do whatever they are supposed to do. And those janmas are taken essentially to exhaust the prarabdha. Because whatever may be their karma, that might have resulted in those kind of births. Just to exhaust that karma, they have taken that birth. So in that birth, in that animal birth or in the plant birth, they don't accumulate any new karma phala. They just exhaust the prarabdha, and then whatever is in store next time, in the Sanchita Karma, the next birth will be decided by that. And if that happens to be a human birth, then they have the opportunity to go to moksha in the human birth only. So if a person is born as a human being, then one of the duties, responsibilities for him is to make sure that he maintains the environment and also maintains the harmony among all creations also. So the person, the human being, should not be the person to break the harmonious chain. Even though mostly that happens, we are the one who pollute the system. We are the one who pollute the environment. We are the people who do lot of atrocities that way to break the system. But that should not be the thing. So that is why Bhuta Yajna is considered to be one of the Maha Yajnas, Vaishwadeva, to protect the birds, animals and ecosystem and all. And then Manushya Yajna, our respect for other human beings in society. We are not alone. We are with so many people, so many humans. We derive so much from the work of so many people. So Panchamaya Mahayajna is very, very important samskara for a grahastha. Because there are the grahasthas, they have got the biggest responsibility, not only to protect themselves and their family and their ancestors, but also to protect the brahmacharis, the bachelors, and also the sannyasis. So they are like the bridge between these two, so that they are like the building block of a society. So they have got the biggest responsibility. So doing this Manushya Yajna is a big responsibility for them, and they have to adhere to that thing. So these are all the five Pancha Mahayajnas, that is this Brahma Yajna, and then the Pitri Yajna, Deva Yajna, then Bhuta Yajna and Manushya Yajna. These are supposed to be the five Mahayajnas. They call it Mahayajnas because they are supposed to be practiced by everybody, every day. Ladles, they are all supposed to be used for various yajnas, used for making offering into the fire. Tarvi, Shruk, Shruva, there are so many names. They are all used to offer the oblations into the fire. And the Shrauta Agni is like the master of the Griha. ది గ్రహపతి. సో ఈ సపోజ్ టు ప్రొటెక్ట్ ఫ్రమ్ ఆల్ కెలామిటీస్ అండ్ సో ఇట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ గార్హపత్ని అగ్ని. బికాస్ ఇట్ ఇస్ సపోజ్ టు బి లైక్ ద మాస్టర్, ఇట్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ గార్హపత్ని అగ్ని, గార్హపతి అగ్ని. అండ్ దిస్ ఈస్ డివైడెడ్ ఇన్ టు త్రీ బిఫోర్ ద రిచువల్. దిస్ గార్హపత్య అగ్ని ఈస్ డివైడెడ్ ఇన్ టు త్రీ బిఫోర్ ద రిచువల్. ఆన్ ది ఈస్టర్న్ సైడ్ ఎ స్క్వేర్ కుండా ఈస్ ఎస్టాబ్లిష్డ్ అండ్ అ పోర్షన్ ఆఫ్ ద గార్హపత్య అగ్ని ఈస్ ట్రాన్స్ఫర్డ్ టు దట్ స్క్వేర్ కుండా. అండ్ దర్ ఆర్ ప్రిస్క్రిప్షన్స్ రిగార్డింగ్ ద సైజ్ ఆఫ్ ది కుండాస్, ది సైజ్ ఆఫ్ ద బ్రిక్స్. సో మెనీ డీటెయిల్స్ ఆర్ గివెన్. అండ్ దిస్ అగ్ని ఈస్ కాల్డ్ ఆహవనీయ అగ్ని. సో ద వన్ విచ్ ఇస్ ఆన్ ది ఈస్టర్న్ సైడ్ విచ్ ఇస్ ఇన్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ అ స్క్వేర్ దట్ కుండా, దట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ ఆహవనీయ అగ్ని. అండ్ ఆన్ ద సదర్న్ సైడ్ ఆఫ్ ద గార్హపత్య అగ్ని అనదర్ కుండా ఈస్ ఎస్టాబ్లిష్డ్ విచ్ ఇస్ సెమీ సర్కులర్ ఇన్ షేప్ అండ్ అనదర్ పోర్షన్ ఆఫ్ ది ఫైర్ ఫ్రమ్ ది గార్హపత్య అగ్ని ఈస్ ట్రాన్స్ఫర్డ్ టు దిస్ కుండా అండ్ దట్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ దక్షిణాగ్ని. Okay, this is on the southern side. It's because it's southern side, it is called Dakshinagni. So now if you really imagine, there is this Shrauta Agni and a portion is taken and that goes as the Ahavani Agni and another portion goes Gargapati Agni and another is Dakshinagni. And since the Smartha Agni is never divided, it is also called Ekagni. It is called Ekagni. Since the Shrauta Agni is divided into three, it is called Treta Agni. So Smartha Agni is never divided. It is called Ekagni. There is an Ekagni Kandam. And the Shrauta Agni is divided into three. So it is called Treta Agni. Ekagni and Treta Agni. And most of the Shrauta rituals, Vedic rituals, are done in the Ahavaniya Agni. And no ritual is actually done in the Gargapati Agni and is only a witness. The Gargapati Agni is to be maintained all the time. And that Agni serves as the witness. You know, however rishis, this everything is done with Agni as the Sakshi. Even the marriage ritual is done with Agni as the witness. That is why we don't need a registrar or somebody to witness our marriages. The Agni is the Sakshi because that is the eternal Sakshi. So no ritual is done in the Gargapati Agni. And after the performance of the ritual, the Ahavaniya Agni and Dakshina Agni are joined back. They are brought together into the Gargapati Agni. So when the rituals are performed, they are done in separate places. And once the ritual is completed, they are joined together back to the Gargapati Agni. All these details need not be known to us. But I am just only telling all these things essentially because when people do some yajnas and all those dikshitas who are doing these yajnas every day, we should learn to appreciate them. Only when we know something about what they are doing, we will never be able to appreciate what they are doing. And that is the reason why I spent some time even to explain these rituals, even though many of them are not in practice for most of the grahasthas. Only very, very few, you know, there are people, Ahidagnis are there in various places. Only for those people, they maintain this, all others don't. But unless we know them, we will never be able to appreciate them. And when a person dies, his cremation is performed using the Shrauta Agni. That is the Vedic Agni. His cremation is performed through his Shrauta Agni. This Smartha Agni is preserved for the wife. So this Shrauta Agni, through which he was doing all Vedic rituals, that Agni is used to cremate him. And his wife, once that is used to cremate him, that Agni is gone. And now for the wife, the Smartha Agni that he has been using, that will be used to cremate her. But when the husband dies first, because the questions will be there, right? If she dies first, what will happen? When the husband dies first, he will use up the Shrauta Agni and the Smartha Agni will be used to cremate the wife. Fine, which is supposed to give her Swargaloka. So when the Smartha Agni of the husband is used to cremate the wife, she will get Swargaloka. But if the wife dies first as a Sumangali, considered why the Sumangali death is considered to be good, that's what we are trying to arrive at now. If a wife dies ahead of the husband as a Sumangali, part of the Shrauta Agni itself will be used for her, which is believed to give her Brahmaloka. See, that is the difference. When she dies as a Sumangali, she gets cremated by the Shrauta Agni itself, in which all Vedic rituals were performed by the husband, which is supposed to give her Brahma Loka, which is the highest Loka one can attain. So, we should remember that these rituals are prescribed in the Karmakanda portion of the Vedas, only for those who are not Jnanis. For a Jnani, none of those things apply anyway. So, these are all only for Karmakandis, people who are not Jnanis yet. Maybe they may be Karma Yogis and all. For those people, so if the wife dies first, then the Shrauta Agni nourished by the husband will be used for cremating her, which will give her Brahma Loka. Otherwise, the Smartha Agni one will be used, which will give her Swarga Loka. And Sapta Havir Yajnas, that is the next, we did the Sapta Paka Yajnas. Now, we will go to the Sapta Havir Yajnas. These are supposed to be performed in the Ahavani Agni. I already gave you the various Agnis, the Ahavani Agni, the Dakshina Agni, and the Shrauta Agni, Smartha Agni, all that I have given. You just refer to the lecture later because the recordings are available, because now you might have forgotten. But just to only know, they are all performed in the Ahavani Agni only, the Sapta Havir Yajnas. And there are seven, as we said, as the name indicates, Sapta Havir Yajnas, there are seven Yajnas. And one is the Agni Adhanam. Agni Adhanam is division of the Agni into three. And this division itself is a ritual. And that is done only once. And once it is divided, the Agni, original Agni is divided into three, it has to be maintained throughout the life. One cannot change it. If it goes off for some reason, that is why in Gurukula, those days, the Shishyas, some of them will be earmarked only to maintain the Agni. Their job is to only make sure the Agni never is put off, so that the Agni will be ever will be burning. So, and if for some reason, if the Agni goes off, then they have to perform a prayaschittam. You cannot just take another match and light it. A prayaschittam has to be done. And if the Agni is not there, then it has to be brought from another person who is similarly qualified, who also maintains a similar Agni. And you have to bring it from him after doing a prayaschittam, and then only this can get started. And then the second one, this is Agni Adhanam. And the second one is Agni Hotra. Agni Hotra is a daily ritual, like Upasana. This Agni Hotra has to be done every day. And the third one is Darsha Purnamasa Ishti, performed twice a month on the Amavasya day and Purnima days. Darsha means Amavasya and Purna means Purnima. So these 2 days only it is performed every month. And the fourth one is, it is called Agrayana Agni. It is done once in a year. Agrayana ritual, there is another thing, another Havir Yajna, done once in a year. And the above four rituals are small rituals done mostly within the house. That is Agni Adhanam, Agni Hotram, Darsha Purnamasa Ishti, and Agrayana. So all these four are small rituals. They can be done within the house. And then there is this Chaturmasi Agni. This Chaturmasya ritual is different from the Chaturmasya Vratam observed by sannyasis. We should not confuse that with that. This is a Chaturmasya Yajna. And this ritual is performed 3 times in a year. Once every 4 months. So that is why, because it is done once in every four months, it is called Chaturmasya Yajna. And the next one is called Niruda Pashubandha Yajna. The 6th and the 7th rituals, this one and the next one, they are done in a very big scale. Generally, once in a year, outside the house. And the 7th ritual is called Sautramani, which is done once in a year. So, which are the 5, 7 Havir Yajnas? Agni Adhanam, Agni Hotram, Darsha Purnamasa Ishti, Agrayana Ishti, Chaturmasya Agni, Chaturmasya Yajna, and Niruda Pashubandha Yajna, and Sautramani. So all these, they are all done. The last two are done in a grand scale, in a big scale outside the house. And the last three Havir Yajnas, Chaturmasya, Niruda Pashubandha, and Sautramani, they are performed. The Yagashalas are very big. The number of days performed are high. Number of people participating will be high. The rituals require enormous discipline. Actually, just if I describe you some discipline, it will be mind boggling. The person who performs the yajna, such yajnas, and that person, he should not be taking bath for the entire duration of the yajna. If it is 5 days, 7 days, 41 days, doesn't matter. And he will be applying butter throughout the body. And he will be wearing a silk vastram on the butter. And these two fingers will be tied. And then he will be only performing yajna through the other fingers. It will be like that for the entire duration. You know, the finger, it will almost become very numb and will be almost look like it is dead. So at the end of that, they have to take the fingers out and then they have to do all that thing to make it all functional again. And if they have to scratch, they cannot use their fingers to do that at the back. They have to have a porcupine, this thing, or somebody else will come and do it. And they have to sleep only in the yagashala. And the patni also should be with them. The patni and the husband and wife, they both have to be only in the yagashala. And the disciplines are all, they have to sleep there only. And in a hot day, in a summer day, imagine a person who has not taken bath, applied butter throughout the body, and have the silk vastram around him, and his fingers tied, cannot even scratch his back, and with that he has to recite, and who takes food very, very, very limited, and just to only satisfy the yajna requirements. And this person has to sleep there. This person has to recite all the mantras and perform the yajna. Look at what kind of tapas he should have. The discipline, internal discipline, that is unbelievable. That is why these are all called high tapas. Many of them don't follow all this because procedures are so rigorous. There are only a few people who perform these things. There are other things which are part of these yajnas, like, you know, offering of animals and all that thing. That's a totally different topic that we are not discussing here. We are only talking about the procedures involved and the discipline that has to be gone through by these people who do such great yajnas. So the last three heavy yajnas, they have to be done in a big yagashala outside. And this is regarding the Sapta Havir Yajnas, that much is adequate. And then the Sapta Soma Yajnas. So we saw Sapta Paka Yajnas, 7 Paka Yajnas, 7 Havir Yajnas, and the 7 Soma Yajnas. And in these Soma Yajnas, the Soma juice, so there is a creeper called the Soma creeper. And they take that creeper and then they get the juice out of it. And with the chanting of the Samaveda in a high pitch, they offer that. And there are procedures as to how to bring the Soma creeper. The Soma creeper that grows only in certain parts. And they have got a small, garage like a horse drawn, cart kind of a thing, where they will take it and put it in that and bring it from there with ceremoniously, with the chanting of mantras and all. How to cut the Soma creeper. Everything is procedural. Therefore, everything instructions are available. They will bring it and bring it to the Yajna Kunda, and then how to take the juice out of it. Again, there are procedures for all of them. And all these yajnas using the Soma creepers, they are all big yajnas. And they are all done outside the house only for the benefit of the entire country. It is not just for the family. Only some people qualified to do that only can even make that sankalpa. Because they are all such a very involved, very rigorous procedures, even to do the sankalpam is a very big this thing. And the 7 Soma yajnas are Agnishtoma or Jyotishtoma. That is number 1. Then Atyagnishtoma. Agnishtoma and Atyagnishtoma. And Ukthyam, Shodasi, Vajapeya, Atiratra and Aptoryama. These are all the 7 different Soma yajnas. Agnishtoma or Jyotishtoma 1, Atyagnishtoma 2, Uktiyam 3, Shodasi 4, Vajapeya 5, Atiratra 6, and Aptoryama 7. You would have heard this Vajpayee, Somayaji. These are all people who gained the titles because somebody in their family, in their ancestors, they have performed these yajnas in their. A person who does the Vajapeya yajna, he is a Vajapeyi or Vajpayee. And a person who does the Soma yajna, he is a Somayaji. So that's how it is. And it is generally observed that one does Aupasana and Agnihotra daily, he is supposed to be doing, and the rest at least once in a lifetime. ఆది సోమయజ్ఞాస్, ఇఫ్ ఎ పర్సన్ ఈస్ పర్ఫార్మింగ్ సోమయజ్ఞాస్, ఈ షుడ్ బి డూయింగ్ ఔపాసనాగ్నిహోత్రం ఎవ్రీడే హీ హ్యాస్ టు బి డూయింగ్. బట్ వన్ ఆఫ్ దీస్, బికాస్ దేర్ ఆర్ సో బిగ్ టు పర్ఫార్మ్ దెమ్, యూ నీడ్ లాట్ ఆఫ్ మనీ, లాట్ ఆఫ్ రిసోర్సెస్, టైమ్, పీపుల్. సో దాట్ ఇస్ వై, యు నో, వెన్ వీ డిడ్ ది వివాహ సంస్కార, వీ డిస్క్రైబ్ దేర్ ఆర్ డిఫరెంట్ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ వివాహాస్, అండ్ వన్ వివాహ ఈస్ సచ్ దట్ దిస్ పర్సన్ డజన్ హ్యావ్ రిసోర్సెస్, సో హీ గోస్ అండ్ రిక్వెస్ట్ సంబడి టు గివ్ మనీ టు హిమ్ అండ్ రిసోర్సెస్ ఫార్ హిమ్ టు పర్ఫార్మ్ సచ్ అ బిగ్ యజ్ఞ. ఇన్ రిటర్న్ హీ గివ్స్ హిస్ డాటర్ ఇన్ మ్యారేజ్ టు దట్ గాయ్. సో ఆర్ హీ డజన్ నో ద ప్రొసీజర్, హీ హైర్స్ అ ప్రీస్ట్ అండ్ టెల్స్ ద ప్రీస్ట్, ఐ వాంట్ దిస్ బిగ్ యజ్ఞ టు బి డన్, ఐ హ్యావ్ మనీ బట్ ఐ డోంట్ నో హౌ టు డూ ఇట్, సో యూ డూ ఇట్ ఫార్ మీ, ఐ విల్ గివ్ మై డాటర్ ఇన్ మ్యారేజ్ టు యూ. So, all because in once in a lifetime at least, it is expected for somebody to do these yajnas. And during vivaha, the first smartha yajna, namely sthalipaka, and the first shrautha yajna, namely agni adana, are both initiated. So, at the time of marriage, when the vivaha homam is done, the first yajna, smartha yajna, this is Thalipaka. I just mentioned just now in the Thalipaka, in the Paka Yajnas. So first is Thalipaka Yajna and the first Shrauta Yajna, namely Agni Adana, they both are performed. And among the 21 Yajnas, which are the 21? Sapta Paka Yajnas, Sapta Havir Yajnas and Sapta Soma Yajnas. Among the 21 Yajnas, the 7 Paka Yajnas are done in the Smartha Agni. And the remaining 14 are done only in the Shrauta Agni till death. Or till a person becomes a sannyasi. So you cannot do that the other Sapta Paka Yajnas in the other one and this one in the other one. So you cannot. As already mentioned again, the Dakshina Agni and the Ahavani Agni are made from the Garhapati Agni. When Shrauta rites for the fathers, that the Vedic rites for the fathers have been performed in the Dakshina Agni and other Shrauta rites in the Ahavani Agni, the two fires no longer have the exalted name of Shrauta Agni. Once the crematory rites are done, no more Shrauta Agni and are just like any other ordinary fire and they have to be extinguished. They have no more value afterwards. It goes with that person. The person who nourished that Agni right from the day of marriage and was using that Agni and nourishing it throughout his life, when the person dies, it is used to cremate him and it goes with him and that's it. Only the Garhapati Agni and Aupasana Agni, they are to be kept burning throughout. On every Prathama, the first day of the lunar fortnight, every Prathama, a Paka Yajna and a Havir Yajna have to be performed in the Grihya Agni and Shrauta Agni respectively. These are all procedures. There are various all these details are not important to us at all. They are not even relevant because we don't do any of this. But I am telling these things essentially to indicate the procedures and the rigor an Agnihotri or a person performs all these yajnas have to go through. So that we will learn to appreciate that very well. Because unless we learn to appreciate them, we will not support them. All these people, they don't have their own resources. They look for resources from people for them to perform these yajnas. When they perform yajnat bhavati parjanyaha, when they perform yajnas, the rain comes. So the end prosperity in the land comes. So when they do such big yajnas for the benefit of the whole society, it is our responsibility at least to support that. And for us to support it with a knowledgeable base, it would make more value. That is why by knowing what it means, it will at least help us understand what they are trying to do. And the first is called the Sthalipaka. And the Sthalipaka, we just mentioned that, the Paka Yajnas. Sthali means the pot in which the rice is cooked. And it must be placed on the Aupasana fire. And the rice is called the Charu. Cooked in it must be offered in the same fire. So the Charu, the rice cooked in that fire, Aupasana Agni, that should be offered. And the rite that is the basis for many others, that is called the archetype or model, that is called Prakriti. So the rite, the basis for many rites, is called Prakriti. And those performed after it, but with some changes, they are known as Vikriti. So on the basis of many, the rite that is the basis for many other yajnas, that is called Prakriti. And the one that is done, deriving from that, that is called Vikriti. And for the Sarpabali and, called Shravani அந்த பாக யஜ்யா கால் ஆகிரகாயணி. ஸோ ஸ்தாலி பாக்கா இஸ் த பிரகிருதி. ஸ்தாலி பாக்கா இஸ் கன்சிடர்ட் த பிரகிருதி. அண்ட் த ஹவிர யஜ்யாம் பெர்ஃபார்ம்ட் ஆன் எவ்வரி பிரதம இஸ் யூனோ தர்ஷபூர்ண எஷ்டி தி தர்ஷா. தர்ஷா மீனிங் தி நியூ மூன் அமாவாசியா டே. அண்ட் பூர்ணா மீன்ஸ் த ஃபுல் மூன். So the ishtis, ishtis means again sacrifices or sacrifices conducted on the day following the new moon and the full moon, the two prathamas, they are together given the name Darshapurna Ishti. So the prathama day, the first day after Amavasya and the first day after Purnami, when these ishtis are performed, they are called Dasapurna Ishti. And the two rituals are also referred to merely as ishti. If you just say he is doing ishti, means he is doing Darsha Ishti and Purnamasi Ishti every month. This is a prakriti for Havir Yajnas. And for Soma sacrifices, Soma Yajnas, Agni Stoma is the prakriti. The word Stoma, Stoma also meaning sacrifice. So Ishti is also sacrifice, Stoma is also Agni Stoma, is also sacrifice. So one who performs an elaborate sacrifice like a Soma Yajna, he is called an Yajwa. Or a Dikshita, or a Makhin. So he is such a person. And one who conducts the greatest of the Soma Yajnas, Vajapeya, is known as a Vajapeya. So greatest of the Soma Yajnas, Vajapeya. And sacrifices are called variously, Kratu, Makha, Ishti, Stoma, Samstha. There are so many names. And there are some differences between these two also. There are details. You don't have to know that. But I am just telling you how complicated these are. The person who performs the yajna is called the yajamana. And those who perform the sacrifice for him are called ritviks, the priest, who consists of four. And these four are whom? Rigveda priest, he is called a hota. And the Yajurveda priest, he is called the advaryu. And the Samaveda priest, he is called the udgata. And the Atharveda priest, he is called Brahma. And each one have got their own assigned duties. And each one, when they are performing the yajnas, they won't be even communicating with each other with other words. It's all through either signs or by, if you they want to catch the attention of another person, they will only recite the pranava. And the other person will look at him and they give them by symbol what should be done and that person does. In paka yajnas, there are no ritviks at all. Only the householder, the yajamana, he performs the rites with his wife. Paka yajnas, stali paka and all that. In havir yajnas, there are four ritviks and one yajamana. Four ritviks as we mentioned earlier. But the Udgata's place is taken by the Agnidra. The Udgata is the one who sings the Samaveda. Udgata means reciting very high, with a high voice. Udgata. So this person, he is a Samavedian. So it is only in Soma Yajnas that there is a Samagana, not in the Havir Yajnas. The Havir Yajnas, Samagana. So that is why in the Havir Yajnas, the place of the Udgata, the Samaveda priest, is taken by Agnidra. This is another priest. Only in the Soma Yajnas, Soma Yajna, there is Samaganam or Samayajna. Samagana is recited. And in Chaturmasya and Pashubandha, I told about the Chaturmasya Yajna and Pashubandha Yajna, there are more than the usual number of priests. They are all bigger ones. In Soma Yajnas, there is the full complement of priests. The Hota, the Advaryuta, Udgata, and the Brahma. So many people of them. And each priest is assisted by three others. So in all, there are 16 priests in a Soma Yajna minimum. And Agnishtoma, which is the part of the seven Soma Yajnas, is the Prakriti, as we mentioned earlier. And the others are called Vikritis. Six are the Atyagnishtoma, Uktya, Shodasi, Vajapeya, and Atiratra, and Aptoryama. These are all the other six. And in the old days, the Agnishtoma is the first one. Other six are what I mentioned earlier. And in the old days, a Brahmin who is used all his wealth performing Soma Yajna, because they were all so particular about performing these yajnas, he spent almost all his wealth in performing these yajnas, because a lot of dhanam has to be given. So many details, so many things are taken care of. And much of this was spent in what? In Dakshina. When they perform these yajnas, most of the expenditure is going as Dakshina in the form of money, gold, bhumi. They give dhanam of land. So many things are being given. And there was also the time when even poor Brahmins performed this sacrifice every spring, Vasante Vasante. There are people who are called Prati Vasanta Somayajis. Every Vasantam, every spring, they will perform this yagyam. A Brahmin who conducted such a sacrifice, he was called Prati Vasanta Somayaji. Such people were there. And so these are the 21 yagnyas. Sapta Paka Yajnas, Sapta Havir Yajnas, and Sapta Soma Yajnas. And we already finished the Pancha Maha Yajnas. So all these things together, 21 plus 5, 26 are over. And with this 26, the first 14 up to Vivaha, 40 samskaras are over. Now we have to go to the final samskara, namely Antyeshti. That is a samskara somebody has to do for us. And even though we don't do all the other 21, Panchamahayagnas we should be doing in some form or the other, but the other 21 we may not be doing. And the final samskara, Antyeshti, most important. And the final samskara after death, obviously performed by the son or some other near relative, because this person cannot do it, is Antyeshti, Antya Ishti, final yaga. Ishti means yaga, and Antya Ishti means the final yaga. And the individual offered, for example, everybody offered so many things during the 40 rituals as oblations throughout the life. When we performed all the 40 rituals, people offered so many things during that life. Finally, the body itself is offered to the Agni in the Antyeshti Samskara. And it is believed that after death, if the person has to get a better life in the next Janma, the person should be purified of all sins. And the fire does this purification's job. When the body is offered to the fire is supposed to do the purification's job. So the cremation is not performed for a sannyasi, essentially for two reasons. Because when we think of sannyasi, only for grihasthas and other people, this cremation is done. For sannyasi, it's not done. Why? Because at the time of sannyasa, the person has given up agni. When he takes sannyasa, he gives up agni, so no agni for him. And the sannyasa ashrama itself is a great fire of purification. And so agni samskara is not needed. He doesn't have to be purified again with agni, because the sannyasa ashrama itself is supposed to be a purifier. And if the person happens to be a jnani also, then there is no need for any samskara at all. No question of reaching higher loka for him. He is already a jnani. He has reached moksha. For the three ashramas, dahanam etc. rituals are done. That is for the brahmachari ashrama, grahastha ashrama and vanaprastha ashrama, the dahanam is done, the cremation is done. And for sannyasis, nothing is to be done as there is no samskara for him. And not only that, there is no one need to do a karma for him, for the sannyasi. And he never does karma to anyone. So he never does karma to anyone and no one does karma to him also. Why? Because jnani is akarta. We already know in our Vedanta classes, jnani is akarta and abhokta. He doesn't have any doership. So he doesn't do any karmas. And all the samskaras are needed only when one depends on something or somebody for purification. If I myself am a purified person because of the way I live during the entire life, I don't need any purification to be done to me by anybody else. But there is always doubt whether I am pure enough. So at the time of Antyeshti, this samskara is done to purify the individual. For a sannyasi, as I told, it's not needed. When the jnani himself or herself is pure, the jnana agni will remove all impurities. There is no physical agni needed at all for a jnani. And again, from the hygiene point of view also, cremation seems to be good choice to destroy germs, etc., which may affect others. From that point of view also, if somebody wants to think of it, you know, it is the cremation samskara is better in the than other types of disposals. Actually, there are certain communities where they throw the body to the vultures. They take the body to the, they call it a Tower of Silence in Bombay. And they take the body all the way there and then leave the body for the vultures to eat up. In some, you know, sampradayas, of course, they are all buried in the ocean. There are so many things out there. But in our system, cremation is considered to be a better way according to our scriptures, because it is supposed to remove all the germs and other things also. And when the jnani himself or herself is pure, as I told, the jnana agni will remove all this. And at the time of death, the person is supposed to remember God. That is, whatever you remember at the time of death, whatever memory with which a person dies, he becomes that in the next janma. That is the belief. So there was one Jataparada. The Jataparada, at the time when he was dead in his previous janma, he thought of a deer. He was nursing a deer. And he thought of the deer and he was born a deer only. So here the belief is whatever you think at the time of death, so will be a person. And so they normally recite the name of God when he is, he's about to die, he or she. They recite shlokas, on his ear. And they recite all this Bhagavad Gita, God's name, Upanishad. They give all that thing. And they also give a lot of gifts as dhanam, considered to be very noble and very sacred. It is done immediately after death. By others only. Of course, he is dead. Others, some people, they may even earmark. Okay, when I die, all these dhanams have to be given to so many people. They might even say that and in their will or whatever and go. And near the dead body, certain rituals are performed, including a homa as a prayer and for the safe journey of the subtle body. As I mentioned many times earlier, when a person dies, what really dies? What really dies is only the gross body. And the subtle body, namely the Sukshma Shariram, and the causal body, Karana Shariram, along with Chaitanyam, they move away. They move out of the body. And they go in search of another body. Because this subtle body has the vasanas of all the purva samskaras, all the karmas. So it has all the vasanas. So to exhaust that, the Punya Papa, this subtle body moves. It moves in search of another gross body, another physical system, where it will enter and will have the opportunity to exhaust its karma. So that's why that goes. So near the dead body, they have all these prayers for the subtle body to move and then get another good body for it to exhaust its karma. So prayers are done for that. The sun takes the Shrauta Agni. The cremation ground is purified. There are rules regarding the type of wood that should be used. The body is bathed and new dress is put on. Very symbolic of leaving the body as a old cloth and taking on another body as a new cloth. Vasamsa Jirnani, as Bhagavad Gita in Krishna said the same thing. So this body, when it goes away, it is like a Jirna Vastram, a cloth that is torn. It is already worn out. So you change it. That's what it is like that. So several mantras are recited for the various limbs to go back to the corresponding total divinities. At the time of this Agni Samskara, this Antyaksha Samskara, they have so many mantras. The eyes means the power of sight, will go back to the sun god. And the ears, the power of hearing, that will go to the directional deities, Digdevatas. So like that, even the manas, go to the Manaso Devata Chandramaha, it will go to Chandrama. So the day following cremation, the bones are all collected. It's called Sanchayana Karma. And then thrown back into the river. An elaborate ritual lasting for 13 days is performed. And there is this Garuda Purana that is recited. So that the departed soul will be guided by the proper devatas. And reach the proper destination. Whatever may be the destination. It can be Swargaloka or Narakaloka. We don't know whatever it is. Based on the karmas of a person. So again, prayers are made for the soul to be directed properly. And rituals are performed for 12 days to develop various organs for the departed soul. The first day, second day, 10th day, there are so many things. On the first day, the body, the departed soul, the development of the body and head. On the second day, the sense organs and the brain, they develop. On the third day, the cheek, the mouth and neck, they develop. The fourth day, the heart, the stomach, the sex organs, genitals namely, and the sides, they develop. Fifth day, the waist and the back, they all develop. And on the sixth day, again, the thighs. Seventh day, the ankles. Eighth day, the calves. And ninth day, the feet for the legs. And the tenth day, he develops hunger and thirst. And 11th day, again, prayer for the well-being of the jiva in the next janma. Prayed right now, after 10, 11 days of the after the death, the prayer is made for the jiva to get the next life, better life in the next janma. And the 12th day, the jiva is the departed one, the soul, is to join the pitru lokas, the loka of the ancestors. So it is called sapindi karanam. So the term pinda, pinda means the rice ball. People like wheat ball, rice ball, whatever it is, that symbolizes the body, the sariram, which is merged with the ancestors. So they will have these pindas arranged, and then it will be mixed with the other ancestral pindas. They will have pindas for the ancestors, will be merged with them. So if the person has done punya, himself or herself, he, she will attain a good janma. If not, the rituals are supposed to enable getting one. If I have done good deeds myself, I will myself get a good janma. If not, the sincerity with which the person who performs this, all this, the antyeshti for him, if that person does sincerely with lot of prayers, then it is supposed to give a good janma for this person, departed person. And on the final day, the 13th day, all the past is forgotten. Start with an auspicious note, Shubham, Mangalam. So all the things, because we understand, when a person is born, when there is a date of birth, there should be a date of death. And for some people, it can be at earlier age, some people at a later age, depending on one's own prarabdha, whenever it ends. So we understand that as a natural process. So we do not resist death. That is, death is a natural process. We cannot resist it. It is a fact. And so once these rituals are all performed, again we have to start a new page. So that is marked on the 13th day by starting an auspicious set of another. This thing, so this is called Shubha. And on the 13th day, the Ashaucham, that is the uncleanliness, that is believed to go away. That is this thing. And there are essentially actually two types, two aspects regarding this Ashaucham, because Ashaucham is something which we have to understand what they are. From the medical standpoint, the germs, etc., they are likely to be with the intimate visitors of the body, who are essentially close relatives. They are the people who will be in contact with the dead body. They will do the cremation ritual for them and all that, like a quarantine. So the spreading is minimized when they don't come in contact with the other people. So they are like that. So Grihya Sutras also, they give a lot of details regarding this. And the second thing is the mental shock and dukkham, they will remain. And when frustration and sorrow are there, a person will have only dislike. Mind is not going to be that this thing. And so is given time to get over that. So, however, there are some exceptions for Asavacham. For example, brahmacharis, sannyasis, and the one who is in the middle of an yajna. For example, somebody is doing an yajna for 7 days, 10 days, 40 days, and he has done sankalpa for doing the yajna. And because he has done already sankalpa for doing this yajna, this death is not going to affect him in performing his yajna. It will not affect the brahmacharis, it will not affect the sannyasis also. So even if this person is a grahastha, the one who does yajna, it won't affect him. And our scriptures also have prescribed these samskaras to facilitate a person to attain the 8 great virtues. That is the most important thing of doing these rituals. Why do all these rituals? To gain ultimately the atma gunas, which are number 1, daya, compassion, sensitivity to others. Then kshama, to develop patience, forbearance, capacity to face provoking situations without getting agitated. Then anasuya, without having jealousy. And saucham, internally and externally to be pure. And absence of tension and anxiety, absence of miserliness called akarpanyam. And absence of attachment, aspruha. So the person is supposed to have all these qualities, atmagunas. And auspiciousness is mangala. So the person is supposed to develop all these atma gunas by observing these rituals, performing these rituals. Once they are gained, then he will be able to gain peace, peace of mind. Absolute peace requires only atma jnana. It is absolute shanti requires atma jnana. But one can get relative quietude through the practice of these rituals. And when a person is endowed with the above Atma Gunas, all these eight great qualities, he becomes an Adhikari. He becomes eligible for what? For Vedanta and for the ultimate knowledge to gain moksha. So endowed with the knowledge, the person has no worry about next life, Krama Mukti, Swargaloka, none of those things. He has no worry about any of them. Such a person, he is a Purnaha. And he lives with the awareness when all the time as Aham Brahma Asmi. So the samskaras lead to Atma Gunas, which give Adhikaritvam to gain knowledge, which gives liberation, moksha at the end. So the entire purpose of this doing this samskaras throughout the entire life is essentially to get the qualification, to get the self-knowledge. So if a person does not get the Atma Gunas in this life, with the Antyeshti Samskara, it is hoped that one will get in the next Janma at least. So this is the purpose of the samskaras, to be done throughout the life. It's like lifelong kind of a thing. And one can get Jnanam in this life or perhaps in another future life, depending on how one has conducted one's life. We have nobody else to blame if we don't get moksha. We have only ourselves to blame. And human Janma is the only Janma where one can get moksha. All other Janmas are there only to exhaust the Prarabdha only. They will not give moksha. So this human Janma being the most valuable Janma where one can get moksha, it is not wise to lose that opportunity. That is why our scriptures, in addition to telling which are the ways, which are the qualities one has to have to gain moksha, it also told us how one can gain those qualities by observance of all these rituals and various practices. And with this, we conclude our cursory discussion on the 41 Vaidika Samskaras. And as I told you, I gave only in a very nutshell all the things. There are a lot of details given in so many places. Many of them, if you go and read, they may be even very confusing. But they are all not required for us as people who are in the normal locomotion of life. For us, we don't need all those details, but at least an awareness of what these rituals are and how they are practiced and what is the ultimate purpose for them. If we at least know that much, it is going to enable us to lead. What is growth? How am I tomorrow compared to what I am today? If I am a better person tomorrow, it is growth. Then if I am a better person tomorrow than today. That is, if I am a better person today than yesterday, that is growth. That is all we look for. When I say better person, endowed with all these good qualities. That only, so we should all become a person, we should all be motivated to become a person with those good Atma Gunas. That should get refined every day, and these rituals help us do that. These rituals, for people who are in the Vedic rituals, they can, you know, follow this. For others, they can follow the internal disciplines. Because the ultimate aim is to become a good person. Should be a total person, an integrated person. As I mentioned many times, you should become Yuktaha. You should become the Atmavan. You should become Vashi, the person whose all these, you know, Indriyas, they are all in his control. One has to become such a person. And once when they develop the Atma Gunas, then they can get self-knowledge. Okay. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi.